Hello, you both. I gotta start over. That was bad. I can't talk.
Greetings, my friend. This is the brain of TV's Pinky in the Brain. You are listening to the Nerdcast, but what you're really listening to are subliminal messages saying, I will obey brain. I will obey brain. I will obey brain. I will obey brain. Yes!
Hello, you beautiful humans, and welcome to the Nerdcast from Project Nerd. It is episode 163. Yeah, it's 163.
Bro, own it. Own it. Don't I think guess.
Good enunciation.
That was definitely a pass at me. That was a little play on me, but that's okay, because that messed up intro is going to be in there before the intro music.
Fine. Whatever. Listen, you're going to have to get over the fact that I went on vacation at some point.
Right. I'm not upset that you went on vacation. I'm upset that you went to Jamaica and got jerk food. Like, that's it. It always relates to the food with me.
I mean, there was a lot of other really good food as well, but the jerk chicken was excellent and I ate a lot of it.
Yes. But anyways, Tyler is back from Jamaica. He's rolled us in. It's episode 163. Adam, Bob, as you know, Tyler, myself, Iggy are all here. And what's really exciting about all this is it is Idols weekend.
Woo!
So last week on the podcast, we announced that we were going to kick off Idols around the time you would hear this episode. I managed to accidentally kick a Kickstarter off a week early, so we're actually a week in. But for the sake of those that are listening and didn't realize it was live, still same results in the end. You can still go there. Still go to Kickstarter or to Project Nerd and find your way to the Idols New Beginnings campaign and show us some support, as we've got I think a pretty awesome graphic novel going, as well as some cool perks. I think Adams is equally as excited as I am about the skateboard deck that's available on their perk list.
Dude, that thing looks so good. Like, I mean, I wouldn't skate on it, but I'd hang that on the wall for sure.
It's going on my wall. It's going on my wall. But I can't order it unless I do like a bulk order. So another one or two people has to order it as well so that I can get one and put it on my wall. Because I can't make the excuse to order it just for myself unless I decide to back my project at that level, which is sounding more and more like I'm going to do here in the next 5 minutes. But anyways, let's get for deck. We've got some cool art too. Probably by the time this airs, from Andrew Tarasov, as always, our good bud. Andrew Tarasov did a nice pinup / possible alternate cover for us that we'll be sharing with his followers as well as some of our backers that they can check out. Excited for that as well. I don't think you guys have even seen it yet. It's super
secret. No, you've been really secretive with this one.
I haven't.
Like, normally it's like as soon as you get something, you're like, guys, check this out. But this time it's like, this is the first time even hearing of this.
Well, we had a big birthday weekend here, that I was kind of wrapped up in, and I don't know. I mean, we could talk some about it, but I may not. For those that aren't friends with me on Facebook, they're lucky enough to not have to see the videos, but the rest of you, you've already suffered enough. Anyways, Idols, New Beginnings, Kickstarter, Samantha, Zucal, Gods, Idols, City, comic, graphic novel, 48 pages. JC Grand is the artist. Jeremy Kahn is the colorist. Great team behind there. Go check it out. We've got a video. We've got a whole description of the graphic novel so you can see it. When you go over there, you can comment too. So say you heard it on the Nerdcast. We'll throw you some extra love on the next episode. And I'm looking forward to it. But besides that, we've also got another big Project Nerd thing around the corner too, which that next episode where we throw you some love will be a Colorado Springs Comic Con.
Hey,
there it is. I was waiting for the cheer there, so I didn't know. Anyways, but Colorado Springs Comic Con, August 24th through 26th, and well, obviously Colorado Springs. Bob,
yeah, where is there. That, Iggy?
it's somewhere in Colorado. I'm not sure.
Huh.
But Bob, hi. You'll be there.
I'm excited.
Who are you excited for, Bob? It's got a huge, huge guest list, huge celebrity guest list. Who are you looking forward to seeing?
First of all, I'm excited to go to Colorado Springs. Where I grew up when I was a little kid, and it's going to be held up.
Really?
Yeah.
How did we not know this?
You grew
about
up in the Springs?
Yeah. Wait a second. Bob,
What?
We've known you for like 8 years, and I'm pretty sure this is the first time I've heard this.
Maybe, I don't know. Well, you know I have family down there.
I know you have family in Colorado, but yeah. I didn't know you grew up in the spring.
Well, yeah, we moved to Kansas when I was 12 years old. So, but I lived and ran around Colorado Springs when I was a little kid. It was great. That was back when you could cross Academy Boulevard and not get hit by a car. Now I wouldn't cross that street if you paid me.
Well, anyway, I mean, how much money are we talking?
Lots.
Okay,
lots.
I'd cross it for some money right now.
I'm really good at Frogger and Crossy Road, you guys. Let me tell you. So if we're doing money on this, I want to get in on that.
I know. Like, Bob, we're going to be there next weekend, so we can make a thing out of this, and you guys can throw money at me while I'm running across it. I will pick up the money.
I get to pick the intersection, though.
We'll need to discuss dollar amounts before that.
Intersection is like two roads. Like,
that's all right.
You just said a
wait for the red lights, right?
No. I used to cross it without the lights.
All right, so...
Anyways, but
you're home. Before Street.
Which we're still shocked by this, but he's from Before Street. There you go. But who are you excited to see at the convention itself?
I tell you, I'm just like really excited about seeing the cast of Revenge of the Nerds. I've went back and I've watched the movie a few times, and I watched all the bonus features and listened to the commentary. It's really interesting. I think most of the people that are going to be there didn't want to do this movie. It was really kind of neat. They were like, I don't want to be in a movie called Revenge of the Nerds. It doesn't sound like it's going to do anything. And the studio only released it in like 400 theaters, and it was huge. And so it's kind of interesting how all that worked out. So it'll be kind of neat to hear them talk about it. Because they were pretty much against doing this movie.
Well, there'll be a large amount of those nerds.
That'll be there.
As well as the after party's kind of themed around that whole thing as well. So
Exactly. That's going to be fun. You'll have the cast of The Walking Dead. And I think most of them have already been killed off on the show. So... you'll be seeing a lot of dead people walking around.
Well, it just means they have more time to hang out with us at the convention.
Definitely. One person I'm really kind of excited about seeing is Michael Kuditz. He was Abraham on the show. Definitely an interesting character there. And we got Negasonic Teenage Warhead and Colossus from Deadpool 2.
Fun fact, I'll be moderating that panel. So
I will be there.
I will be up on stage with those guys. I'm really interested to talk to them about Deadpool 2 because that comes out on Blu-ray 4K and
next week,
the right before the convention. So
yeah,
so people will have freshly seen the extra content, the alternate ending, the baby Hitler scene, and you know probably all the other crazy special features we'll get with the what is it called, like the super duper edition?
Super duper cut. Yeah, and I've seen it, and it's good. It's a lot more graphic, to say the least. But it's a fun cut.
Of course, Bob saw it when he was.
Bob, did you buy the digital edition and are going to buy the 4K next week?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, good to know. Of course I did.
One of us here actually got a copy of the digital code from me. I wonder who that was.
Oh, wait, that was for Avengers, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, that too. Yeah.
Yeah. I get a Deadpool code, too? I didn't know about this. I'm excited.
I don't know. Depends.
I won't make fun of you. Adam's making fun of you for the multi-purchases. I didn't do it.
Okay.
I just asked a question.
So you will get a Deadpool code if I get to run around the audience during your panel there and hold the microphone so people can ask questions.
Okay. That's fine with me.
All right. Cool. I'm psyched.
I'm down. But I'll be, let's jump right over to that now. I mean, obviously, Colorado Springs, August 24th through 26th. But it's the end of the summer, so as the box office slows down, which we'll get into in a little bit, the home video speeds up, and we have Avengers just came out this past weekend, Deadpool 2, obviously, next week on home video. Bob collecting editions, obviously, as we've already discussed, for both. But tell us, I'm sure you've already caught a glimpse of the Avengers Bob, what are you thinking? How's it looking on 4K?
It looks great on 4K. It's fantastic. And I also picked up the original Avengers and Age of Ultron. I watched the original Avengers here before we went on, and it looks amazing, absolutely amazing. And this, you know, the one bad thing about Disney is with their sound, their Atmos sound, they tone it down a little bit, and they do it on all of their releases. So, you know, it sounds great, but you still got to turn the volume up a little bit to get a little bit more of an aggressive sound. So, you know, it's one of those really strange things. You know, they have all the great sound programs on there, but you still got to jack up the sound to get just a good listen out of it.
I want to ask you guys something. So I saw a question on the internet about the Avengers since Infinity War came out. Mm-hmm. It was, do you think the Avengers works as a trilogy apart from the rest of the MCU? Can you just watch the Avengers? Just the three Avengers movies.
I don't feel like it, because with one, you get the introduction of characters that weren't in the previous ones, which you could get over, especially obviously if you're familiar enough. I mean, they're all being talked about enough. However, I feel there's like certain things that happen, especially like in Ragnarok, or you know, more recent ones that really played in.
Not even that. You got it. You can't watch all three of them without watching Civil War.
That's a great
point, too.
Civil War is basically an Avengers movie. Like, Civil War breaks the entire continuity from 2 to 3. Like, without Civil War, the jump from 2 to 3 would make literally zero sense.
Yeah.
Like, why does Captain America have a beard in the shadows?
Hiding out.
You know, like...
Yeah.
So, Tyler,
Why is Tony carrying around this shitty little cell phone? Like, what is going on with that? I don't know.
And you gotta have, like, you gotta have Ragnarok, so you can figure out where did Bruce Banner come from in 3.
I'd say, but okay. So Tyler, would you sell me on a trilogy with Civil War? So like a 4-pack?
I think it works as a 4.
There's still a lot of backstory that's just getting skipped over. Like, for instance, considering how much of the movie takes place in Wakanda and you haven't seen Black mm-hmm. Panther, Ant-Man, not a huge deal. I mean, he's only in one of those four movies, but
Guardians of the Galaxy, though.
Yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy missing, like those guys just literally showing up in 3. I don't think they stand alone. I mean, early MCU, you could definitely just like, you know, watch the 3 Iron Mans or watch, I don't even know if you can watch all 3 Captain Americas and have a good feel for what's going on. Like, yeah. Captain America 1 and maybe Captain America 2, but by Captain America 3 Civil War, like, you would be adrift without a lot of the movies leading up to it. So I think MCU is kind of past the point of like being able to sit and watch these, with the exception of some, I'm literally not moving at all. I'm sitting in one spot and holding steady. Sorry.
Are the rest of you guys hearing it? I'm here. It's going up and down. I'm just trying to...
I cannot sit any stiller and be any closer to the microphone.
I did see.
Sorry,
here.
Let me finish that thought, because I'll put a cut here. I'll try, but I literally can't sit any stiller than I am. But yeah, I think they've passed the point of you being able to watch even like some of the new launch movies, like the, what I want to say, origins, not origin stories, but like the first installments in some of these movies don't work super well on their own. Like, I think most of them do, but like even Captain Marvel, I'm curious to see how that's going to work without knowing, like, if you would be able to go in and watch Captain Marvel. And like, they tried to like do a decent job of introduction, but considering how many people between Ronan the Accuser, Maria Hill, and Samuel L. Jackson. Why can't I think of his name?
Nick Fury.
Like, I feel like that's a ton of information that people come in with. I think MCU is, that's one of the downsides of having such an interconnected world, is none of these movies really work on their own anymore.
No, I was going to say, AMC Theaters here at the end of the month is actually going to show a marathon, all 19, 20 movies in IMAX.
In a row?
In a row, but, well, they're going to do like 4 movies a day. in IMAX.
Okay.
The bad thing about it is you gotta pay for every movie.
That's still though, like four a day for how many days in a row? Like, could you?
It's, I think it's a week. I think it's.
Who can make that commitment though?
I gotta go to work, man.
Right?
I can't afford to both go to that set of like that whole round of movies.
But I think it's
Labor Day. And pay my bills.
I think it's like first like Thursday, Friday, and then Labor Day weekend is when it's happening. So hey, spend the weekend watching.
That's picnic weekend, bro.
Yeah, that's football weekend. Stuff to do.
Eh. But it's picnic weekend.
All right, so let me roll that question into a second question then, because I agree with you, Tyler. I don't think they stand alone. I think you might be able to squeeze a four pack that makes sense. Certainly five or six. You don't have to watch all of them. But has Marvel gotten better, or did they do poorly at the beginning of connecting all the movies together?
Well, I think early on, the connections were more. They were almost more just Easter eggs than they were.
Yeah.
They were more Easter eggs than they were like continuity pieces of the plot. They've now become like
more obvious.
Huge parts of the plot. Like it's the plot hinges on certain characters doing certain things and having certain interactions and having certain back history, like having a backstory. Like these people have interacted in the past and these are the things that happened. And now these are the things that are happening going forward. I think that was bound to happen. I think that's really the only way you can go and continue to keep them. Because we also can't keep doing a full-on origin story top to bottom every time we introduce a new character at this point. Like, people, they've done a lot of interesting different ways of doing origin stories, but I think people are kind of over that. Like, we need to be able to just be able to drop characters in and move on. But I don't know. I think early on they did as good a job as they could, but it was very, like you said, Easter eggy. It was very fan service. It was more a nod and a wink and less of a, here's a character that's going to be super important later on. And then on some of the standalone movies, they do it in like a good way. So like, I would say like the best, like it's cool if you've seen the movies, but doesn't serve the plot a ton would be in the first Ant-Man where Falcon shows up for like a scene. Mm-hmm. Like you don't need to know anything about Sam or Falcon or anything for that scene to work. But then you get into some of the ensemble ones and it doesn't work at all.
Good questions. So obviously, as always, those of you listening, if you want to chime in, comments all over the place, whether it's our social media on projectnerd.com or over at the Podbean page. But the Avengers, that's what's happening on home video. Anything exciting at the box office this weekend, Bob? What happened last weekend, numbers-wise?
A big, large shark took over the box office. I did not expect this at all. I was thinking, because we've had The Shallow and we have had, 40 meters down or whatever. So another shark movie, I expected like 20 million. 45.4 million at the box office. This was the second largest release in Warner Brothers history behind Suicide Squad. They did like 4,100 screens. So it is huge. I don't know if it's going to last. There's not really that much coming up until the end of the summer, but yeah, 45 million, unbelievable. Second place, Mission Impossible Fallout did 19 million for a total of 161 million in 3 weeks. That's getting close to being the number one Mission Impossible movie. Third place, Christopher Robbins did about 12 million. In fourth place, Slender Man. I haven't seen it. I don't know if I have any desire to see it, but it's fourth place. And in fifth place, Spike Lee's new film, Black Klansman, did about 10 million. And that one looks really good. It's getting
wow, that on. Broke the top five. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
And did it like in 1,200 theaters too. It did not have a pretty good size release, but not a huge release.
Yeah, about a 1,500 release. I mean, it did about 7,000 per screen. And compared that to everything else, the Meg did 11,000 per screen. But, it also opened huge overseas. It opened in China, and since it is an American-Chinese collaboration on that, I mean, it did huge. It just did so much money. So
it buys more of them. It's horrendous. I don't know. This is now they're going to announce the sequel. And
Well, there's four or five books.
Yep, the books that we talked about. Every one of those books is going to get one now.
Yeah. All
those fun titles that you read off to us, Tyler, we're going to see them on a movie poster soon.
I don't know. I kind of want to go see it.
It's stupid fun. Jason Statham, he's fine. I mean, there's a lot of really crappy acting in it, but the shark scenes are fun. And that's why you go to a shark movie.
So you said slow rest of the month, so nothing really this weekend to compete with it. At least.
Well, I tell you, the end of the month here, what do we got? We got that Mark Wahlberg movie, like, was it 21 miles, something like that? You know, it's a Mark Wahlberg.
When does that one come out?
Friday.
Really?
You get Crazy Rich Asian. I think that's going to do better than you guys are thinking.
No, it's going to do big.
That's going to do well.
It's going to do well. It's going to do really well. It's a book. It has a built-in audience.
Yeah.
And it looks good. It looks fun. You know, there hasn't been a real romantic comedy out there all summer long. And, you know.
What are you talking about? Deadpool 2?
That was a family movie, remember?
Wasn't as romantic as the first one.
My bad. Fair. Yeah. Fair on all accounts. All right. Yeah. So, Meg taking a bite out of the box office here.
Ooh, that was good.
Don't do that. Don't.
that was terrible.
So anyway,
I don't know. Maybe Happy Time Murders is going to be
big. That's not until like the 24th.
That's still this month.
The 24th is like next weekend.
Yeah, that'll do good. I think that's probably going to be your last big box office hit.
All right, so we're talking movies, and we've talked about it. We talked about it extensively last week, so we won't go way too deep into it. If you want to hear more about what's happening with MoviePass, all the changes that went into effect just a couple days ago, check out our last week's episode, obviously. But this week, we do want to mention that all the bad stuff just continues for them. It just never gets better. And their parent company, because of MoviePass, is being sued by the shareholders. So Helios and Matheson Analytics, which owns MoviePass, is getting sued by the shareholders. They filed with the SEC on Tuesday, and it showed a net loss. Are you ready for this, guys? $63.4 million. I was honestly expecting more, but $63.4 million is a pretty big number. The shareholders saw that, and it turns out they were never told that up front before the SEC, or at least they're saying that. I don't want to, obviously, not guilty until proven guilty here, but shareholders were like, whoa, we were not aware of this. So they aren't happy. They filed a lawsuit against the company, and it just seems like it just keeps going downhill here for MoviePass. I don't know. Bob, you said it last week when we talked about, maybe they can have a blackout period, maybe they recover, but it's like, it's hard to see them surviving after this. And now one thing after another, yeah, it's getting more and more bleak to see any kind of survival on the other side of all of this mess.
I've heard, and I don't know, I double-checked mine, but I've heard that you're starting to see, some people are actually seeing who have canceled their MoviePass account, that MoviePass is actually still kind of taking money out of their accounts. I don't know if that's real or not. It's something that I read earlier today.
It's been reported by multiple people who have canceled within the past few months. So nobody that's like canceled a while ago and come back, but people that have canceled over the past few months, and MoviePass isn't, I don't think they've said, I haven't read anything where they've said anything. However, early when all this was going on, they did say up front, look, a lot of you are trying to get a hold of our support. A lot of you trying to reconfigure your plans or whatever in this. And we just are so backed up right now because of how many requests we're getting. So please be patient. So it probably plays into that, or at least I can see them using that as an excuse to try to keep getting dollars from people.
Yeah, there was a couple articles. There's a good one on Vox about it. But basically what happened is after they made all those changes, if you had already canceled prior to them making all the changes they announced where they were getting rid of the peak pricing and getting rid of ticket verification and peak pricing and all that stuff. When you open the app for the first time after the changes, a window came up that says, hey, updates to your MoviePass plan. You asked, blah, blah, blah. Here's all the information. Please confirm. And then there was just a big I accept button on it when it wasn't really clear. There's a little X up in the top right corner if you're not paying attention. But if you hit I accept, you resubscribed at the new price for 3 months. And it, a lot of people opened the app for the first time to use it after they'd already canceled it, saw that, hit the button, and then went on with their lives and realized that they had just resubscribed for 3 more months and had, and there's like, they got a letter, and at the very bottom of the letter, there's like a little single sentence that says, please note, if you had previously requested cancellation prior to opting in, your opt-in to the new plan will take priority and your account will not be canceled.
Ouch.
Well played. Well played, company.
Oh, so we should be expecting a class action suit for it being unclear.
So not just from the shareholders, but it looks like other people are going to be
suing. Users will probably get in on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's shitty, but it's, if you look at the, like, it sucks, but it, like, I would recommend, if you get a chance, go check out the article on Vox about it. But it's very, it's not super obvious, but it's not like overly. There's a button you can click on for more details, but if you don't, and there's an X, but if you hit the I, there's only one button, and that's the I accept button if you hit it. But it does say, please confirm you accept these charges, these changes. So I don't know. But, and then you got an email saying that you had done it, but there's a lot of people, if you go on Twitter, just losing their mind about it.
But at that point, you've done it. So it's, yeah, that's crazy. So awesome. A lot going on around that. Again, I said we won't spend too much time on it, but definitely let us know your thoughts on everything going on with MoviePass. If you want to hear more, last week's episode's got plenty of information. Something else we talked about last week that I know Tyler was super excited to get back for. Got back from vacation. Said it rolled out at about 3 p.m. on Monday, Central-ish time. New World of Warcraft. Tyler's got a couple hours in. What are we thinking so far?
It's pretty cool so far. Like I said, I'm only a couple hours in, so I've just started the first section of a new zone. So the new zones got added. I don't know how deep to go down the rabbit hole if you're not like a Blizzard fan or a World of Warcraft world fan, but the Alliance got a new area called Kul Tiras, which is where Jaina Proudmoore is from. The Horde got Zandalar, which is where the original troll empire, the Zandalari trolls, are from. I've gotten started working with the Zandalari. It's really cool. There's a lot of new features, a lot of new functions, a lot of new things that have come out. I pretty much buy every expansion that comes from WoW, and then based on the first few weeks, kind of decide if I'm going to stick with it or not. There's been plenty of expansions like Cataclysm, like Mists of Pandaria, that I did not play at all outside of a week or two. There's some that I played for a month or two and quit before, like raiding, which is like Warlords of Draenor. And then there's ones like Wrath of Lich King and or Legion that I just play obsessively for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. But it has launched. There was definitely, like with any Blizzard launch, a few bugs out the gate. When I got home, my flight got in late last night. When I got home, I was just going to say, hey, I'm going to play for about an hour before I go to bed. And every server in the world for WoW was up except for the one server that I play my main character on for some reason. So that was super upsetting. And there are like so many WoW servers in North America, and the one that I play on was down. It was pretty funny. There was a lot of bugs. Obviously, people going anytime like anything even minusculely, what's the word I'm looking for? Any sort of minuscule annoyance happens to any sort of WoW player, they all lose their minds. If you ever just want a crash course in just the unreasonableness of crazy humans, go on the Blizzard forums for WoW. It's a thing of beauty. Someone actually snapped on one of the customer service reps who controls the Twitter account for WoW the other night, snapped because they like tweeted out like, hey, we know there's an issue with this one quest, just to let you know we're putting in a hot fix now if you haven't logged in yet. And someone obviously sent, I'm sure a lot of someones, but someone specifically sent like a really snarky comment, and the official Blizzard account like straight responded like, listen, dude, I mean, it's not just one dude with a wrench in a server room. Like, there's a lot of people working on this thing. Why don't you just calm the fuck down and back off? Like, he didn't use that sort of language, but it was very like non-professional HR approved speech from a customer service account. It was really funny. But gamers in general are really terrible, you know, as a whole, and WoW gamers are on a special level of, speaking as a WoW gamer, a lot of them are just really the worst.
Well, it's like Wendy's and Arby's has really opened up the way companies can communicate with us on social media.
So, I don't know. I mean, if you follow gaming at all, like any gaming company being even remotely jokey or snide or saying something that their fans don't like, they get just because gamers are the worst. You know, they get people fired. Like the number of people who
have alienating part of our audience here.
I don't care. The people who don't, who think that I'm wrong, that I don't want them to listen to the podcast. And most gamers who know that I'm right are like, yeah, we're pretty fucking terrible. Seriously, anyone who went after, like, goes after, like, the female writers of various MMOs because one time something happened they didn't like, and they find, like, the one female that works at the company and lash the fuck out on her on Twitter, like, those guys can fuck right off. They don't need to listen to the Nerdcast. Sorry if we have fewer listeners next
week. No, that's, that part's fair. I won't argue that. I'm just giving you a hard time. But WoW's out. Again, I think everything – I'm not going to say it after everything anymore. You know where you can comment, and you know you want to. We want to hear your comment. So
if, no, if you're playing WoW. We don't necessarily want to. We want to hear some.
I want to hear them, especially the bad ones too. So
nah, if you want to be shitty, go do something else.
So also exciting, next week, Christopher Nolan's responsible for it. 2001, A Space Odyssey, back in theaters, 70mm. Not the new digital stuff. 70mm restoration, select theaters that I'm pretty sure all big cities actually are getting a shot at this. So I know Bob, you brought it up to me last week. Tyler's super excited right now. I don't know.
I already got tickets.
You already got your tickets. Where are you seeing it at? It's IMAX too, right? Is that
I'm seeing it IMAX at AMC 20. So
Bob, are you checking it out before you make it to Colorado, or are you checking it out when you're here?
Oh, well, there we go. I need to, okay. Yeah, I'm going to try to check it out when I'm there. There's like a 10:30 at night show. So I was thinking, that might be pretty good.
Is that on Thursday night?
It is on a Thursday night, too.
Ooh, okay. Because then we don't have the con until 3 o'clock on Friday. We could possibly make
that work. We could do that.
We'll have to take this offline for a little bit. We might have to talk this a little bit out. Plan some things here. I don't know. We'll see.
But, yeah, I'm definitely going to see that.
Adam, any interest from you on that one? Well, I mean, I'm sure you have interest, but are you actually going to check it out?
What kind of question is that? Yes, I have all of the interest. Now, you say it's in most big cities. I don't live in a big city. I have the biggest city in Arkansas is just right down the road. I don't know if that qualifies as a big city or not. I haven't checked it out to see if it's there. I know we've got some IMAX theaters down there. I just don't know if we're getting it. If we're getting it, yeah, that's probably going to happen. It's probably going to have to happen. So, I don't know. I got to check it out still.
All right. I could see all of us making it to this one for sure. One thing that we spent a lot of time talking. I'm moving on to the next one. Moving on to the next. One thing we spent a lot of time talking about, I think we really like talking about it because it's so, I mean, some of the things are so vague. Some of it's so, you know, predictable. And I think it's movie award season. It's crazy. It's a mess. It's really, it seems like a sinking ship in a lot of aspects, while it's also what still hold, like people still go for that title. You're still Academy Award winning or Academy Award nominated, whatever. But big change is coming as the Oscars continue to try to shift whatever the hell they're doing from the, was it popular movie announcement, which I don't think we really talked about last week, which we can hit on as well. And then the big one this week that they announced was, not this year in 2019, but the following year, 2020, they're moving to the weekend after the Super Bowl every year, which in 2020 will be February 9th, meaning the nominees will now be announced early to mid-December as opposed to late January. And that's huge. That's a huge change because as of right now, that has become, I think, really from the Toronto Film Festival on is really when we see those last few months of the I don't want to say smaller budget, but the
independent
films. Yeah, the independent ones, the smaller ones, the not your big Hollywood holiday blockbusters. That's how they make their push, and they get their limited release by, like, as long as they show in so many theaters by the end of December. Now it's going to have to all be pulled up, and it's going to have to change change the whole landscape of how movies are releasing those last 3 months of the year. So very interesting as they're gonna make a huge shift in what's happening.
Yeah, it's gonna be really interesting to see how they're gonna pull this one off because, if we're talking about announcing nominees in the middle of December, I mean that's about the same time the Globe nominations are out and the SAG nominations. It's It's, and a lot of the times Oscar nominations are based on who wins a Golden Globe and stuff like that, or who wins, you know. So yeah, it's going to be weird. It's going to be strange. So it'll be kind of interesting to see how this all plays out.
So some quick observations and questions for you guys around it. One, if this happened last year, do we get a James Franco Best Actor nominee at the Academy Awards? Because the nominee would have been early enough before the whole thing came out against him on the Me Too, and he was picking up nominees at all the other award shows.
Yeah, it might have. He might have gotten one.
Yeah, I mean, so it could impact things like that. Two, do we see, you just brought it up, Bob, like, do we see the other award shows move up as well then? Are they going to move their times up?
I honestly think they're going to have to. Like sounds I said, like, go ahead. Sounds like
primary season. Well, our state's going to be first. No, our state's going to be first. Now, goddammit, stop moving your primaries. We're like the national convention has to be like, seriously, stop it. I always find that interesting.
Yeah, so, but I mean, that puts, is it going to put the Golden Globes into December eventually? Like, is it going to put it in before the year's even out?
I mean, you can't have them before the year's over, so.
I know, so it's going to get crowded there at that, you know, January through February award season, because between the Globes and the Oscars, you've got
all
the Directors Guild, all the guilds. You got everything going. So there's tons of stuff that happens like every weekend.
And then also like the Independent Spirit Awards, those are usually the Saturday before the Oscars. So they're going to have to move that up. But yeah, I think the biggest thing that you mentioned there is the guidelines or the rules of the Academy is that the film has to play either in New York or Los Angeles for 1 week at a theater to be considered for a nomination. And if that's the case, yeah, it's going to change those rules completely.
Yeah, so because you can't say, I'm going to play at the holiday week, the last week of the year, like a lot of them do.
Yeah.
The nominee's already announced by then, right? Like you have to pull that into like November or something.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, that's what's got me curious about the two announcements that we've had. So the adding of the Popular Film Award, whatever the hell that's going to be, because they haven't really said what it's going to be yet. Popular movies come out at Christmas to take advantage of that long weekend, that holiday where nobody's working except the people at the movie theater. So what happens with that? Like, we just ignore any movie that comes out after December 20th?
Yeah, I mean the number of movie studios that push their movies back in the year so that people don't forget about them come Oscar time. Like the number of movies that are like, oh, this actually turned out to be really well. Let's move it back to October. Let's move it back to November. Let's move it back to December so that it can build Oscar buzz really quickly. Like I guess there's a lot of moves that the Oscars is making that I don't get. But I understand, like, I don't think are good moves, but I get them. Like, the whole popular movie thing to try and stay relevant, ratings are dropping, young people don't watch the Oscars anymore because they're not, you know, cool movies or whatever. But this one honestly doesn't make any sense. Like, I don't know what their reasoning behind this one is. They're the big one. They're the prestigious one. They're the last one. They're the, you know, the icing on the cake. They're the one everyone waits for. Like, it's all about... The only reason people, for the most part, outside of Golden Globes, I feel like watch any of the other award shows is to be like, get a read on like who's the favorite to win the Oscar. Yeah. I don't know why they would want to. I guess I just don't understand their reasoning for wanting to move it up.
I think what I wish they would have done instead of doing this best popular film is to do drama category and comedy musical category, just like the Globes. I think that would have been much better.
Agreed.
But yeah, I mean, I guess my whole thought on it is, so if you win Best Picture, does that mean you're not popular? You know,
there's a lot to unpack with the popular, especially because of how vague they've been. Like mm-hmm. the amount of stuff, like the number of think pieces and articles. Adam shared one with us the other day. I shared one. I mean, the number of variables there, like, can you be nominated in both categories? Can you only be nominated in one category? What's the threshold for a popular movie? Is it a dollar amount? Do I, as a director, go for that? You know, there's a lot to unpack there, and I don't think any of it's good.
So yeah. Playing with all that, as well as kind of what you brought up, Adam, about what do these big winter blockbusters go? You got to also look at it this way. When we're watching those other, the guilds and all that stuff, and the voters themselves are have the nominees. So now they're making the final decision for who wins these awards. This is all happening during probably the quietest time of year at the box office. So this is happening with very little influence on the big screen. Now it's going to be happening when Star Wars is coming out, when whatever other big Christmas release is happening. So now the voters are making their decisions when these big movies are being talked about constantly and right in front of your face.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah. But to be fair, usually, especially if they want a big Oscar campaign, those movies that come out actually in that Christmas weekend have already been, screeners have already gone out way, way, way before that to the people who would vote for them. But still, it's not a great time to try and be launching an Oscar campaign, I wouldn't think.
Yeah, it definitely muddies that whole time period. And obviously, we'll have to wait, not this winter, but the winter after, to see some signs of it. And I think you'll see some adjustments. But after it happens, finally, it's going to be another year after that before we probably see some major changes at the box office. But then again, the other thing, which we, again, you get to point it out, Tyler, there's been a lot of articles out there. You can hit up Google for that. We've discussed it internally quite a bit, is that popular movie category, which we still are not being given exactly what it is. We're just being told that it's there.
Yeah, I don't see anywhere where it's, I don't think that one category is going to save Oscar viewership. And I see it creating a lot of potential issues, whether those issues come to pass or not, you know, screen or, you know, I guess movie companies, production companies, do you pull a movie so it doesn't make too much money if dollar amount is what they go for popular? Like if you make a really good movie and a lot of people are watching it, do you want to make less money so it doesn't get into the popular category? I mean, who knows? It's weird. And then people making movies specifically to win the popular category. I don't know. It's bizarre.
And that is coming up on this coming Oscars. Is that correct? Or is it that category?
We still don't know. They really have just told us it's a thing now. And they, along with telling us, the only other thing they told us is that some of those technical categories will be now taken care of during the commercials, which for the mainstream audience, again, as Tyler pointed out, some of these decisions we don't like, but they make sense. Us who get excited about those technical categories, it's going to take away a little bit from also us competing on who got the most, you know, right. But like you said, it speeds up the show and it moves that. But yeah, are we going to see that this year? What are the details of it? Are they going to give us any? Is it just going to be told? Like, is it even going to be told to the voters what they're voting for in terms of popular movie? Or are they just picking something out of a hat who made the most money that year? Like, what, or, you know, what's
going on?
But yeah, a lot of things happening with the Oscars. Well, as always, we'll follow it. We pay close attention to all the award season. And we are just a few months away from getting into this season, this year's award season, which is always exciting because we like to talk about it. But moving along, something we talked about a little bit before we started recording, which was kind of fun. Weird Al Yankovic finally getting his Hollywood Walk of Fame star. He will be awarded it this coming and the next few months. But Weird Al, and I think was it you, Adam, who said he doesn't have one already?
Yeah, it's crazy. All the people that have a Hollywood Walk of Fame star, that somebody like Weird Al, who is pretty universally well loved in the last 30 years, for God's sakes. I mean, he's been around for friggin' ever, making hilarious songs and hilarious videos. I mean, the guy is a genius. And how he doesn't have a Hollywood Walk of Fame star it's shocking to me, honestly.
Yeah, as long as he's been in the business, that's really surprising.
Bob, you brought up, though, that an interesting thing that they have to pay for these Walk of Fame stars.
Yeah, it costs like somebody has to pay $40,000 to have a star put on the Walk of Fame. They have to submit an application to be nominated, and they have to be selected by a committee from the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce. And just like the Professional Football Hall of Fame, they have to agree to go to the dedication ceremony.
Well, they didn't have to at the Professional Football.
No, but they're going to. They just came out with some guidelines.
Thank you, T.O.
Yeah.
But it's I liked the my favorite question though beforehand that happened. I wish it could have came up naturally on the episode. Was that how did Godzilla pay for his $40,000 to get a star on the Walk of Fame there? But it's interesting for sure that it's happening, and it is. Yeah, it's kind of crazy that Weird Al doesn't have it, especially as I get we all hate him now. Like, I mean, it's pretty universal that we all hate Trump now. But even before Trump became a globally hated politician, what did he do in Hollywood to get a like star? He hosted a reality show, and it wasn't Hollywood that he got rich on.
Well, so there are five categories in which you can get a Walk of Fame star.
Okay, okay,
just so this movies is
giving us clarity here.
Because there's five. What do you call them? They have the underneath their name there will be that little circle, and there'll be a symbol on it. One of them is a like an old school movie camera that's for film, but there's a television one. There's a record one for music. There's a radio microphone for radio stuff. And then there's a pair of comedy tragedy masks for theater. So I'm pretty sure his is a television one for The Apprentice, I would assume. But yeah, you can get, you don't have to be in movies to get on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. You can get in for movies, television, music, radio, or theater.
Right. It's the Hollywood Walk of Fame because it's located in Hollywood, not because it's celebrating Hollywood's movie industry.
Yeah, even the Kardashians have a star.
What? No, the Kardashians and Trump have a star before Weird Al had a star.
Well, the other thing is, if Weird Al doesn't have one, it's usually probably because someone, because you have to be nominated, like a group has to get together and like nominate you. And then if they approve it, then that group's usually who pays the $40,000. So, and sometimes people do it for themselves, but usually it's like a fan club or a you know, some sort of like, Dennis Hopper got his because Starz sponsored it as part of like promoting Crash. Like there's a lot of people who've gotten them just straight because someone used it as a promotional vehicle for something else. I think that a lot that happened with like a lot of the Star Wars ones. And there's a lot of like really random ones out there. There's one for like the Apollo 11 mission to the moon. The Munchkins as a collective group have won Hollywood star from like the Wizard of Oz. Like there's a lot of odd ones like that.
And other fun news with the Hollywood movie stars, starting in 2021, they're moving up all payments of that $40,000 to the weekend before the Super Bowl and announcing a popular star category. So anyways, yeah, but yeah, I get what you're saying. There's obviously a lot of craziness about it, and it's is just as much political, financial, whatever it is popular. But it's still, I mean, it's still kind of getting to me that I think, as you pointed out, Adam, like, he's been around for like 30 years. Like, it's been like three decades of Weird Al. And you have, what, like six or seven seasons of The Apprentice? And
he's been dropping straight fire for that whole time.
The Kardashians. But speaking of, did you guys see they released a video? Video footage got released of when Weezer was in LA this past weekend. And they covered, you know, Toto's Africa a while back, and so now they're singing it at all their concerts, and Weird Al came out on stage and joined them, even had a nice little accordion solo in there. So as always, Weird Al making things well fun, really. Something I'm excited for, which Bob, I was able to not open my Matrix 4K release, so I did return it. I filled out the paperwork to return it to Amazon today because it has been officially announced for October 30th. The Matrix trilogy is coming to 4K UHD with additional special features as well. Ooh. So some new stuff going on. All three movies, special features on all three of them. A lot of excitement.
Wait. These movies have had like 27 different releases since they came out in 1999. How are there still extra features?
Dude, there's a whole, I mean, they've made a whole universe of this. There's animation, there's comics, there's books, there's philosophy conversations.
And it's all been released for like 10 years, man.
You can, with a movie like this, and so one thing, I haven't posted it on Facebook, but I've really enjoyed watching friends share their 10 favorite / inspiring movies, you know, and sharing them across 10 different days. And I had to put a lot of thought into mine, and The Matrix obviously is on my list. Yeah. I absolutely love The Matrix. But the thing that I want to say in my statement about it is not so much that this was just a fun action sci-fi movie that now has impacted any other action sci-fi that has come out since, but you can have conversations related to religion, to philosophy, to our problem with consuming, you know, materialism, everything like with this, regarding what the Matrix has brought up. So you don't even have to have the Wachowskis anymore to get special features. You just bring in some philosopher or a couple of philosophers to do a commentary track, and you got a whole new content. So you could create new content, new special features for this universe for the rest of our lives, because there's so many different ways and interpretations and things you can break down with it.
Yeah, I don't need that.
I do. I'm excited for it.
No, sir, I don't like it.
No, because, I mean, if you get legitimate, like, people, like, philosophy to talk about it, but as much as I love the movies and I love the Wachowskis and everything they've done, like, the philosophy of the Matrix is one of those, like, on the surface it seems good, and then you get all the way through it and you're like, this is like someone who went to, like, philosophy 101 for half of their freshman semester and then just stopped going to class.
Well, first of all, we all stopped going to philosophy 101 halfway through the semester.
I didn't, but
okay. Well, most of us did, but I actually enjoy that book, and I do enjoy a lot of other things that are deeper dives into it.
But I get that you say that it has spawned a lot of stuff, like comics, multiple video games, including like the Matrix Online, which ran for like 4 or 5 years. But like the last piece of like, what's I say, the greater Matrix world, that was still like almost 10 years ago. Like the Matrix Online went offline in 2009. The last comic book came out in
At the same time, they've come out and have said they've been creating more content around it, and that there's the possibility of more movies to come. So there's been stuff being created, even if it hasn't been released. Okay, just got super quiet after that. But anyways, I don't know. Yeah,
I think you're on an island alone on this one. Like, we all like those movies a lot, but you definitely have a special relationship.
I do. I like them a lot. And you're right. I mean, there's been how many editions of them? And so...
How many different copies of the original Matrix do you own?
Of the original Matrix?
No.
Okay, I still have my VHS. Okay. I have my DVD. I have my Digibook Blu-ray plus the Trilogy Blu-ray. I'm returning the single 4K release so I can get the Trilogy 4K.
So once the Trilogy
4... HD DVD or just forget?
Oh, I do have the HD DVD Trilogy. I do have the HD.
So when this 4K Trilogy comes out, you will own not one, not two, not three or four or five, but you'll own 6 copies of the Matrix.
Of the first Matrix. Only 4 copies of the rest of the Trilogy. HD DVD, Blu-ray, DVD, and 4K.
Okay.
I'm going to plead the fifth on this.
Yeah, Bob's not going to say anything because Bob has special statue release, and he got 4 different versions of the Avengers just today. So he's like, Bob's not going to say anything. He's on my side here.
I don't own that many copies of Blade Runner, and that thing came out like 35.
How many copies of Blade Runner do you own? Because I own quite a few copies of Blade Runner as well.
I mean, if you count,
but there's like different versions, like
but you still have the digital.
How many versions,
the final cut release, saying, with the 5 different versions?
It's only one movie. There's no recuts, there's no director's cut, there's no final cut, there's no, you know, test print. It's just one. I own 3 copies of the original Blade Runner, the original Blu-ray release, anniversary Blu-ray release, and then the copy that has like all 12 cuts of it on there. But it's been 35 years, like, and I only own 3 of them. It's been 18 years, 19 years, and you're gonna own 6.
Yeah, I'm not. Okay, I'm not saying I'm not, and I'm not having any, like, I'm not embarrassed by it or anything.
Okay,
owning 6 copies of The Matrix. And my DVD copies are the only DVDs that are still displayed on a shelf somewhere. The rest of my DVDs are in a binder. But my Matrix DVDs, all of them, including the individual release of The Matrix Revisited with all the extra special features that came out before the sequels came out, is on the shelf.
Did you play any of the games?
I did, and I still have my original Xbox Enter the Matrix game, even though I haven't had an Xbox in how long?
Did you play the online game? Because that got like really popular for a while.
Yeah, I played it a little bit. I really didn't get that crazy into it. I enjoyed the Enter the Matrix mainly because of how it also played into the movie releases, like the Animatrix did. Like, you could see the trilogy without these, but if you played that game and watched the Animatrix, it added more to the trilogy. So that helped me in that, but the Matrix Online, it was kind of cool, but it was just, here's another massive online game but you can do some cool Matrixy stuff.
Do you own any of the books? Like, I know there's a ton of like unofficial ones, but they did like the shooting script with like where William Gibson, I know, did like the forward for it. Do you own that? The shooting script?
I own that. I own the Art of the Matrix. I own the philosophy one. I own a few of them. Yes.
Okay. I was just curious.
I'm a fan of the franchise. It's a good franchise.
There's a really interesting, what's the word I'm looking for? A scholarly journal article that's bound that you can purchase by Vladimir Tumanov in the International Journal of Cultic Studies called The Matrix Cult that you should probably check out.
So before we head into our final thoughts, I just wanted to also drop a note that Wes Anderson's new movie has been announced, and it's going to be a post-World War II France timepiece. I'm pretty excited for that. I don't know about you guys.
It fits his aesthetic pretty well, I think.
It does. Thank you, Adam, for helping me change the subject there. But it's, I think so too, actually. That's what I really was excited about it, is that it feels like he can make a great movie in that time period.
Well, do you think it's a reaction to the less than stellar reception for Isle of Dogs?
I really liked Isle of Dogs. I did, and it's funny because Aaron, who used to be on the Nerdcast, who is probably the biggest Wes Anderson fan of anybody that's worked with Project Nerd at any time, was one of those ones that seemed not so excited about it. And I went and saw it after my kids saw it as well, and were kind of about it. And I was like, I really enjoyed it. It did, yeah. I mean, it's hard to, because it is weird too, like, for him not to get the reception here, but these directors that all of a sudden become these award season darlings out of nowhere, it seems like, they don't always stay in that light. Like, they eventually make movies that not everybody's crazy about. And his quirkiness, I think, could only stay mainstream, I guess. I don't know what to put here, for so long. Only us Wes Anderson hipsters can stick with it forever, Adam.
Would you say you liked it before it was cool, Iggy? Is that what you're going for? Just go ahead and say it. No, I mean, Moonrise Kingdom was fantastic. Grand Budapest Hotel, I think, was great. Like, and they were...
Well, I think it was the height of his career, too.
They were well-received. So, and those were... That's not that long ago. I mean, we're only talking less than 5 years or right around...
No, I feel like this is the first one of his recent ones that isn't being as well-received. But I enjoyed it, and I don't know if there's any, like, response to this or if... It did just come out on home video, so maybe that's why this news is coming out. But I think it's just he's working on his next movie. It comes out. I found the article. I'm excited. Wes Anderson.
Yeah.
But it's going back to live action too, which is also is more well received. As much as the Fantastic Mr. Fox kind of grew a cult following of his after the fact, it wasn't very popular with its theatrical release at all either.
That's right. Yeah, there was a lot of people who really liked Isle of Dogs. I enjoyed it, but there were some people who really hated it. Like, really hated it.
Yeah, there seemed to be some upset people with it. But anyways, that was just a quick topic before we close out. We are out of time. We're at pretty much the hour mark right now. So I figure we will do a quick rundown of final thoughts before we close out this week. Bob, would you like to get us started?
There's not really much coming out at the movies. I'm just going to say, see y'all in Colorado Springs.
All right, quick and easy. Adam, what you got for us?
Couple things. I'm going to tell our listeners, like I told you guys earlier, Neil Gaiman is out and about talking to people about stuff. So there are several and evenings with Neil Gaiman. I'm not sure how to pluralize that, but they're out there. You can check his website, Google Neil Gaiman. I think it's just neilgaiman.com. Go listen to the man talk. He's really smart, and I've never heard him speak in person, but I would assume it's a very, very good time. Also, this week, Destiny 2 has its last Iron Banner, so that's Destiny's big multiplayer PvP setup. So if you guys are out and about doing that, play some Destiny this week, and it'll be fun.
All right, Tyler.
If you haven't been back to WoW in a while, haven't been back to Azeroth in a while, come back, come along, play with us. It'll be fun. I also got a lot of free time to read over the last 4 or 5 days while I was on vacation. So I finally got a chance to finish Spinning Silver by Naomi Novik. I know I've talked about Uprooted on here a lot. It's really good. I also, Becky Chambers' third book in the Wayfarer series came out, Record of a Spaceborne Few. I finished it and it was super fun. So go pick up a book and read that, or play WoW, or do both. I'm not your boss. I'm not your mom.
Is our trip to Azeroth, is it going to be fun, or is it going to be grindy when we come back?
Here, listen, there's new races now. There's new allied races. You can make new kind. You can be like a dark iron dwarf, or a moose antlered tauren, or soon a Zandalari, a void elf, a nightborn elf. It's pretty cool. There's a lot of things going on, Adam. It's really fun.
Right, but you didn't say it won't be grindy.
Listen. I've noticed.
Said a lot of things that you did not say.
You seem to be avoiding.
Let's play a game where if you're gonna shit on the game for being grindy, you're only allowed to do it if you're not someone who still plays Destiny 2.
Ooh,
yeah, I can't do that. Well, I mean, I've got my grindy taken care of, so you know, I'm just trying to make it so our audience knows that it might be grindy.
Yeah, they're fine with that.
That might be what they're looking for.
They don't have their grindy taken for care of because no one else still plays Destiny 2.
All right, so to close this out, I'll just remind you, obviously, our Idols New Beginnings Kickstarter going. We want your help. We love your help. We need your support. If you're not a comic fan, you know a comic fan. If you're listening to a podcast called The Nerdcast, let them know about it so they can check it out and possibly give us support. I just want to say thank you to Paul, Jeff, Nathan, Ethan, Casey, David, Ravek, Julie, Derek, James, Toby, JLC, Simon, Amanda, Phil, Joseph, Heidi, Brian, Kevin, Zachary, Christine, Angeline, John, and the Creative Fund, Bradley, and Mark, for already showing your early support in the first few days on the campaign. But again, Idols New Beginnings, head on over to Kickstarter, search Idols New Beginnings, it'll pop up, or head on over to Project Nerd. We got a banner at the top as well as a recent article about it. And as always, you can find it on our social media pages as well as links to all of our other fun and exciting content we have going on at Project Nerd. And we'll use this quick time, too, to talk about we will be announcing very shortly some even more exciting podcasts, including the return of a podcast that many people loved and some new ones with details coming up in the next few episodes of the Nerdcast. Until then, we'll either see you at Colorado Springs Comic Con or we'll catch you on the Nerdcast, same nerd time, same nerd channel, next week.